The following is a seminar entitled Devotee Relationships, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on June 19th, 2014, in Hong Kong, China.
So I've been requested to give a talk on devotee relationships. Since we are devotees and we have relationships, this is very relevant. So we'll read something here from Prabhupada's verse, his translation in Purport to Upadeshamrita, number 4.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Dadati pratigrinati, pratigrinati, guyam akati prichati, guyam akati prichati, bungte bojayate chaiva, bungte bojayate chaiva, shadvidam pratilakshanam, shadvidam pratilakshanam.
Offering gifts in charity. You can just read line by line, follow and translate. Do you have it there? Good. If not, just follow verbally. Offering gifts in charity. Offering gifts in charity. Accepting charitable gifts. Revealing one's mind in confidence. Inquiring confidentially. Accepting prasad. And offering prasad. Are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. So you can. In this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami explains how to perform devotional activities in the association of other devotees. There are six kinds of activities. One, giving charity to the devotees. Two, accepting from the devotees whatever they may offer in return. Three, opening one's mind to the devotees. Four, inquiring from them about the confidential service of the Lord. 5. Honoring prasad, or spiritual food, given by the devotees. And 6. Feeding the devotees with prasad. An experienced devotee explains, and an inexperienced devotee learns from him. This is guyam akyati prichati. When a devotee distributes prasad, remnants of food offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to maintain our spirit of devotional service, we must accept this prasad as the Lord's grace received through the pure devotees. We should also invite pure devotees to our home, offer them prasad, and be prepared to please them in all respects. This is called Bhungte Bojayate Chaiva.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Parakamama Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Svarudam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Sha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine.
So one may ask, I thought this was the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now from hearing this verse, it sounds like it's the International Society for Devotee Consciousness. This seems strange, they may ask. So is it really strange that there's so much emphasis here on relationships with devotees? Is this proper according to the teachings of Krishna? Of course we know it is because it's Rupa Goswami. But for a newcomer who doesn't know anything about Rupa Goswami, he just knows that Krishna is the supreme authority, he may wonder, well, why this Rupa Goswami is emphasizing devotee relationships. And that question can easily be answered by looking into the Adi Purana. Wherein Lord Krishna states, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhaktishtate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee. It's very simple Sanskrit. Na me bhaktas. He's not my devotee. So who then is the devotee of Krishna? Krishna says, the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So therefore, this subject matter of how to have proper relationships with devotees is not optional, it's absolutely essential. Because if we do not have proper relationships with devotees, Krishna doesn't accept us. You don't have a loving relationship with my devotees, you're an upstart, get out. Very, very important verse. I remember in the early days of ISKCON, there was this idea that you're only supposed to love Krishna, you're not supposed to love the devotees. I remember devotees even used to say that when I joined. Loving the devotees was considered something mundane. You're not supposed to love devotees, only you love Krishna. And love Prabhupada. But nobody else. But this is not the correct understanding. I remember the devotee who made me a devotee, he didn't have that understanding. His name was His Holiness Vishnu Janaswamy. And his philosophy was, you should always have an embracing mood, always wanting to hug the devotee. Of course, that doesn't mean the men and women hug each other. The ladies hug each other and the men hug each other. Actually, there's one temple that I preach in very regularly, and every morning after they say Vanchakalpa, all the brahmacharis hug, each brahmachari hugs every other brahmachari. That's part of their morning program. They hug each other. It's very nice because it reminds me of Vishnu Jana Swami's instruction. Of course, there's an etiquette also. You don't approach your superiors for a hug. Not that you say, Guru Maharaj, give me a hug. Hugging is for equals. And if you want to give a junior a hug, you can do that. But not that the junior gives you the hug. So, but that mood of loving exchange is very nice, you see. To our superiors, we bow down and offer at their feet and offer our obeisances. And our juniors, we accept their obeisances. These are some of the etiquettes we study in Prabhupada's books. But I remember when this came out, actually when I joined, this book was not available in this
country.
It was somewhere around 1973 or 1974, I think, we first got this hold of this book. And I brought this verse, I went, wow, this is great. You're supposed to love the devotees. And here's how to do it. You give the gift to the devotees. What if you don't have any, you're a brahmachari, you don't have any money, you don't have any, you can't give any gifts, what are you supposed to do? Well, you can give service, that's also a gift. A gift of your time, you can help the devotee in some way. Do his laundry for him. Actually, that was one time stated. We had an Easter Goshti in Dallas many years ago. And in that meeting, I remember when Mataji suggested that every devotee try to do some personal service for other devotees. Everyone should try to do that. Just help someone with their laundry. Always try to serve the other devotees. It's a nice idea. I serve you, you serve me. See, this is how it should be. The spiritual master, he is performing the greatest service. He's taking the karma of that disciple upon himself for delivering that disciple back to home, back to Godhead. This is why the disciple gives their whole life in service to their spiritual master. So by loving and serving my guru, I now don't have to worry about serving anybody else. Is that the philosophy? I don't serve anyone, I only serve my guru, Prabhu. Everybody else, I don't care. This is my guru, that's it. Well, what does Narottam Das Thakur say about this philosophy? It's a very nice bhajan by Narottam. Ananda Anande Bolohadi Bhaja Vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna. Worship the holy Vrindavan Dham. And always meditate with love on the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. You mean I have to worship the devotees also? I can't just worship my guru. No, I have to worship everyone. What does Prabhu mean? It means you're worshipable. You're my Prabhu, my master. Even though we call the ladies Mataji, they are also our Prabhus. Because when you grow up as a little child, your father is your Prabhu and your mother is also your Prabhu. They're both your masters, isn't it? So Prabhupada said, actually, every initiated devotee is Prabhu. But as a matter of etiquette, as Prabhupada told us, we call the lady's mother or Mataji. But that does not mean that she's not my Prabhu. She is also my Prabhu. Because I should think I'm like the son and she's like my mother, so therefore she is also my Prabhu, my master. So in this way, in the Vedic culture, everyone is devoted to everybody, you see. The king is devoted to his subjects. The subjects are devoted to the king. The guru is dedicated to his disciples. The disciples are dedicated to the spiritual master. In this way, the whole Vedic society is based on love and loving relationships. Now sometimes we say that you have to give all of your love to Krishna. So you give all your love to Krishna, then how is there anything left for the devotees? Because you gave all of it to Krishna. But Prabhupada explains, by loving Krishna, then you become the perfect lover of everyone. So you love everyone in relation to Krishna. That means your love is how to help that person to be connected with Krishna. Just like I have come here to your temple and I'm now speaking to you, am I come to get something out of you for my personal sense gratification? No. I've come here to help you be better connected with Krishna. And I have to be honest with you, that to help myself be better connected with Krishna. Because you are Krishna's devotees, you are representatives of Krishna. So by getting your association, my connection with Krishna is becoming strengthened. So it's a mutual thing. I strengthen you, you strengthen me, you see. I enliven you, you enliven me. That's even, I enlighten you, you enlighten me, you see. Even the spiritual master sees his disciples as his gurus, Prabhupada said. Because he has to serve them by taking them back to home, back to Godhead. So it's a very, very nice, the Vedic society is a very, very wonderful society. And this is what we have to this is what we have to offer the world, you see. This is what this gift of loving society based on pure loving relationship is what we have to offer to the world. This society is creating a model of how the whole world can live in peace and harmony. That's why it's very important that any conflicts we have amongst ourselves, we resolve them very nicely. Because we have to show the example how to live peacefully and happily. So if we follow these six guidelines of loving exchange, any conflicts we may have amongst ourselves, they can all be resolved. Take prasad together, have kirtan together, talk about Krishna together, reveal our hearts to each other in this way, you see. This mutual association is very, very powerful. As Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text number 9. Machchita mangita prana bodhayantam parasparam katayantashchamam nityam tashyanti chavramanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. 10.9. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So this is the kind of relationships we should have amongst ourselves. Sharing Krishna with each other. It's like when I was traveling with Vishnujana Swami in what was called the road show. It was a traveling rock opera. I made friends with one brahmachari. I was also a brahmachari. Baba Bhuti Prabhu. We made a little agreement that with every day during prasadam we'll sit together and just talk about Krishna. What we like about Krishna, what we realized about Krishna, some pastime, we would just always talk about Krishna during prasadam. It was so nice. And because of that, there was a very strong feeling of love I always had for Baba Bhuti Prabhu. Because we would associate just to talk about Krishna. Isn't that the ultimate gift? You're supposed to give a gift in charity to the devotees. So if I help you to be Krishna conscious, I'm giving you the greatest of all gifts. And if you help me to be Krishna conscious, then you're giving me the greatest of all gifts. So therefore we always try to encourage everyone. Hare Krishna.
I
always try to encourage each other, remember Krishna. Prabhupada says, Tila wearing Tila is to remind others of Krishna. So going out on book distribution, you see your Harinam Sankirtan. And so we are giving Krishna to the suffering people of this planet. We are giving them the greatest gift. The Vaishnava mood is giving, 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 giving. Just like those names, Jashoda, one who gives fame, Kirtida, also a name of one who gives. Da means giving, you see. Dadati. Giving, you see. So the mood of Vrindavan is the mood of giving. They always want to give. Radharani, she's saying, how can I help these devotees come closer to Krishna? In fact, you may be interested to learn that what Prabhupada told us on Radhastami in London. He said that pray to Radharani in this way. My dear mother, please tell about me to your Krishna. So then Radharani, she will act as your representative. And she will say, Krishna, just see this devotee here, he is better devotee than me. Now you can just imagine what Krishna will think. If Radharani, who is the greatest of all devotees, who gives more pleasure to Krishna than everybody else put together, says, my dear Krishna, I want you to see this devotee here. Is he a better devotee than I am, you see? She's putting herself back and pushing you forward. Just see the mood of a devotee, you see? So Radharani is the greatest of all the devotees. And we can learn from her mood. Not that I push you out of the way so I can go forward. I push you forward, you see. See, in the material world, everybody has to push everyone. Let me go forward, I'll push you down, and I'll go forward to the top. But in devotional life, you see, I want to push you forward. You see, that is devotional life. Let me stay in the background and let me push you forward. You see. This is the mood of a Vaishnava. Not that he wants to be recognized as the greatest devotee in the world. He's more interested to see the other devotees are recognized. This is Vaishnava mood. So we cultivate this nice mood of loving relationships. Always trying to serve one another. Always trying to please one another. Always trying to help one another. Then our lives will become perfect. Our Krishna consciousness will become fully awakened. And we will achieve the supreme perfection of Krishna Prema. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Prabhu asked a question. Gurudev, you just mentioned that devotees want to push the other devotees forward and they will stay at the back themselves. So, for example, if we want to push some devotees forward, be it a member in the society or other some family members who also want to practice Krishna consciousness, but then how can we do it properly? Because we don't know how much that devotee can bear or can handle.
I'll give you an example of my wife. We were doing, there was a BTG marathon. Back to Godhead magazine had gone out of print. And there was a marathon to sign up subscribers to bring it back into print. So my wife is formerly known as the number one book distributor in Fiji when she was serving there. So she was very expert, and she's from a mercantile family also. I was not from that kind of a background. My father hated salesmen. So I had a different kind of background. I wasn't from a mercantile background, you see. So we went out as a team to sign up subscribers for Back to Guided magazine. And she was really the one who was doing this. She was really the one who was the champion. I just kind of tagged along and helped out. But she gave me the credit on the scores. And I was number one in the whole world. And she took the number two position. And we both won a trip to Mayapur. And, you know, that's just an example of what I meant, you know, something like that. So, Prabhupada gives an example like this. That Krishna likes to see his devotee of an episode of which he himself is the doer. Krishna likes to see that his devotee becomes the hero. Of an episode of which Krishna himself is actually the doer. It's like the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna said, they've already been killed by me. But I want that you should go forward and take the credit. So this is the humility of a Vaishnava. Prabhupada, for example, would say, I have no credit whatsoever in this the success of this movement. It's all by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj, you see. He wants to put his Guru Maharaj forward to be the one who is glorified, not himself. Sometimes people say, well, Sankarshan Prabhu, I really loved your class, it was so enlivening. I say, well, actually, it's just a mercy. Whatever, if you were in line by my class, it was just a mercy of Prabhupada. That's all I can say. Because I'm not much more than a croaking toad, really. So if you're inspired by my class, it was somehow Prabhupada's mercy. He used a croaking toad to accomplish something. So this is what I meant. This kind of a thing. Now that you're trying to, some neophyte devotee, you're trying to push him forward and to be a leader and he doesn't really want to do it. I didn't mean it like that. You don't take the credit, you give the credit to others. To Prabhupada, to your spiritual master, in this way, you give credit to the others. That's how I meant it. Not that you force some devotee to go out and do something. You got to give a class now, and you push him out. And he said, I don't want to give class, I'm scared, I'm sweating, I'm nervous. No, you have to give. I didn't mean like that. You understand? Yeah. Okay, anything else? Yeah.
So in the Bhagavatam it says, in the Bhagavatam...
It might be easier without the mic for my... The echo makes it harder. Try without the mic first.
Okay, in the Bhagavatam it talks about the devotee that worships the Supreme but he doesn't. I can't remember how it goes, but he
doesn't respect the devotees.
Doesn't respect the.
He's called a Kanishta Adhikari.
Right. So.
Materialistic devotee.
Right.
Yeah.
But what if this, like, say someone is doing all kind of service for the Supreme Lord, for the deities, etc. Isn't that? But they.
That's wonderful.
But they're committing offenses.
They're committing offenses to all the
so
devotees.
Is their service is still purifying them, or is it just they're just like running on a treadmill?
嗯，咁誒，problem嘅問題就係話，咁有講法就係話，如果一個人佢係崇拜神，崇拜神像，但係佢哋係唔尊重奉獻者，呢啲叫Kanista Adhikari。咁呢啲人雖然佢哋係向主做咗咁多服務，但係佢哋嘅服務到底有冇淨化？佢哋一定係即係佢哋只不過係好似即係喺個跑步機度跑下跑下咁樣。I mean, their schedule is so intense; they hardly have time to talk to any devotees like that. They're just. I was doing that. I did that for a whole year myself. I was on the treadmill for a whole year one time in Houston, Texas. They put me in charge of everything. Everybody went on book distribution all day. The temple president was gone. The treasurer was gone. All the devotees were gone. And I had to run the whole temple by myself, offer every aarti, cook all the offerings, make up the deity plates.
咁有一段時間咧，咁我係因為嗰個廟嗰度又冇人做嘅，咁所以我就乜都要做嘅，煮飯啦又要去供奉啦，又要洗曬啲嘢啦，又要去維持個廟宇啦，乜都要我做嘅。Answer
the phone.
去聽電話。
Receive guests who came to the temple.
去接待。
I had to do every single service.
我要做曬所有嘅服務。
And it was so intense. I only got to read once a week.
嗯，咁誒，我係非常之密集嘅，我只不過喺一。
When I was stirring the bird feed.
咁我喺度做啲 bird feed， 喺度搞緊嗰啲。
I got to pick up a book once a week while I was stirring the bird feed.
咁我又喺度聽電話，睇睇書。
Talk about a treadmill, you see.
嗯，咁就好似喺度不斷咁做。
That doesn't mean I shouldn't be friendly to the devotees.
But he offending devotees.
Ah, that's not very good. That's Kanishta Adhikari, yeah.
Are they getting purified by that service, or are they?
Well,
they're just.
Yes, they are, but it's like lighting a fire while you're pouring water on it.
咁但係如果啲奉獻者佢哋做服務之餘又經常冒犯其他奉獻者，咁雖然佢哋可以通過服務得到淨化，但係佢哋咁樣做就好似佢一路喺度。
They're not going to get pure bhakti. Because they're lighting the fire of bhakti, they keep pouring water on the fire by committing Vaishnava Aparadha.
Sometimes you can see that the devotee may not be committing offenses, but it's our vision also. That they are committing offenses.
Mm-hmm.
And we will commit offense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember an example of that. One devotee was visiting our temple in Atlanta. He came down from New York to this guy in Atlanta temple. And he said, I'm getting zero cooperation from the leaders here. As if they were supposed to cooperate with him. He's a visiting devotee. He should be cooperating with the local leader, not the leaders are supposed to cooperate with him. So sometimes we may think, well, this devotee is really being offensive. But actually, it's me who's being offensive. So we have to watch out for that one. It's very easy to say, yeah, you really offended me. You know? But actually, you were doing the right thing, and I, because you were pointing out my faults, Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to have him point it out, so, you know, then I'm the one who's actually at fault. So you have to be careful of this kind of stuff. In the early days of ISKCON, they even thought that Prabhupada was at fault. There was a preaching program at MIT, you know, MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, big, big high-tech university in the U.S. So there was a Mayavadi Indian there, a Hindu Indian, Mayavadi. He was saying, it's all one. And, you know, Prabhupada got pretty hot about it. Prabhupada, he took his shirt like this. He said, if it's all one, then why don't you wear a cotton ball? He was shaking his shirt, grabbed his shirt. If it's all one, why don't you wear a cotton ball? And the devotee said, oh no, Swamiji is getting, he's losing his temper. Call a cab, let's get him out of here quick. They didn't realize the divine anger of the spiritual master. So sometimes devotees don't realize that they're being blessed by divine anger. Sometimes when they're being corrected for something they're doing wrong, and they don't realize it's actually a blessing, and they find fault with the one who's correcting them. So you can say it's a two-edged sword. You got to be really careful. I'm thinking it's your offense, and you're thinking it's my offense. So one has to be very careful. The safest thing is to always think, I am offense personified. And if anybody points out my faults, then I just bow their feet and thank them a million times for pointing out my faults. Sankarshan Prabhu, you're lazy, you're crazy, you're no good. Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you. The more you can actually appreciate those who point out your faults, that means you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. I heard a very nice lecture one time at our Juhu temple in Mumbai. The devotee, this brahmachari, he gave a lecture. He said, if there is somebody who is always criticizing you, you should move in with him, live in the same quarters with him. So actually we're very a devotee is very happy to be criticized and corrected. So we have to be careful with thinking, well, yeah, he's offensive, yeah. Maybe he's a pure devotee and we're just getting the mercy, but we're thinking he's being offensive. When in doubt, always think that you're at fault. Or at least think you may be at fault. Whenever there's a conflict, always think, well, maybe I am at fault. And that will protect you from aparad. Anything else? Now we're in the nitty gritty of devotee relationships. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
To serve Krishna is to serve everyone. To water the root of a tree is to water the every branch and leaves. And to be Krishna's devotee, to be Krishna's devotee is my devotee. How to understand this?
She's saying to serve Krishna.
Huh? You trust?
To serve Krishna, is to serve everybody.
Yeah.
So to serve the devotee, how we can understand? Tell me if I'm wrong, okay?
Yeah.
So, how to understand serving?
When you serve Krishna, Serving Krishna means serving the devotees. If you're not serving the devotees, you're not really serving Krishna. You're disservice to Krishna. The devotees are actually representatives of Krishna. Krishna says, serve my devotees. So when you follow that instruction, you're serving Krishna. You understand? In other words, serving Krishna means to follow the instructions of Krishna. That is serving Krishna. So Krishna says, serve my devotees. So when you serve the devotees, you're automatically serving Krishna because he ordered you to serve the devotees. Just like an example. When I was with Prabhupada in Atlanta back in 75, there was about 300 of us there in the temple, and everybody wished they had the opportunity to serve Prabhupada. You know, if you could do just something for him, you know, kind of open the door when he walks through. I mean, you know, but 300 devotees, forget it. You know, there's a few personal servants there. There's practically no chance to serve Prabhupada personally. So everybody's itching for the chance. What can I do to personally serve Prabhupada? So anyway, one guest came. A scientist, Dr. Wolf. And everybody's sitting on the floor, you see. This is an elderly university professor. So Prabhupada wanted that somebody should get a chair for Dr. Wolf. So here was an opportunity. Actually, it was not directly serving Prabhupada, it was serving Dr. Wolf, a Karmi professor. But because Prabhupada wanted that he be given a chair, you're serving Dr. Wolf and you're serving Prabhupada also, because Prabhupada wanted there be a chair brought for him. So everybody's looking around for a chair. Nobody can see a chair anywhere. Somebody opens the door, looks out in the hall. Everyone's looking around. Where's the chair? I was standing just beside Prabhupada by the Vyasa-san. And I couldn't believe my good luck. I looked behind the Vyasa-san. And there was a chair behind the Vyasa-san. And nobody saw it except for me. There's three.
Wow.
This is my moment. I get to serve Prabhupada directly. So I grabbed the chair and I told the buddies to move back, and it was packed tight, so I went like this. The buddies had to clear a space for me, you know. And I walked with the chair over to Dr. Wolf. So actually it was serving Dr. Wolf, but it was serving Prabhupada. You see. Because he wanted a chair to be brought for Dr. Wolf. So in the same way, when you serve, because Krishna wants the devotees should be served, when you serve the devotees, you're serving Krishna. Do you understand? Okay, very good. Okay, next question. It was a glorious day. Everyone having no difficulty at all associating with devotees? Everything is going smoothly? No conflicts? Yeah?
Sometimes in devotees association, how to distinguish
whether we are tolerating the devotees or we are spoiling the devotees. How to distinguish?
Spoiling?
Spoiling. In devotees association, how to distinguish whether we are tolerating one devotee or we are spoiling them, like we're spoiling a kid.
Yes, it is the duty of the senior devotees to train the junior devotees properly in how to practice Krishna consciousness. We are meant to be tolerant, but not too tolerant, because then we're spoiling the devotee. So your question is a very good question. It's a very relevant question. Where do you draw the line? Prabhupada said 90% tolerant and 10% strict. If you're 100% tolerant, then you're spoiling the devotee. You're not training him. And if you're 100% strict, then you're being so heavy that the devotee won't be able to handle it. So therefore, Prabhupada's formula of 90% lenient and 10% strict is a very good formula. And I will give you an example of how Prabhupada did that. His servant Nanda Kumar, when serving Prabhupada's lunch, he made a mistake in the way that he served the lunch to Prabhupada. Prabhupada completely tolerated it, he didn't even say a word. The next day he made the same mistake. And Prabhupada very mildly pointed it out to him. The third day, again, he made the same mistake. Prabhupada chastised him very heavily. So that's a very good way to understand it. You should be very tolerant, but and see if the devotee can figure it out on his own. That doesn't work. Next time around, be very, very gently pointed out to the devotee and see if that works, if that gets through his brain, you see. And if that doesn't work, the thunderbolt the third time around. Soft like a rose most of the time. But when needed, thunderbolt. Tamala Krishna Maharaj is very famous for this. David say, would say, he's so sweet you can't resist him. And he's so heavy you can't stand him. So he could be just a sweeter. We have any disciples of Tamala Krishna Maharaj? Any disciples, one, yeah. Yeah, I serve with him in many situations, so I experienced it myself. He can be very sweet, just charm you like anything. Oh. And then boom, 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 like a thunderbolt. So, yeah, we should be very tolerant, but sometimes we have to be heavy. In America, there's an old saying, spare the rod and spoil the child. But now they've made a new culture in America. If you use the rod, they'll dial 911 and call the police. So the parents can't discipline the children very strongly anymore. The police will come and say, you can't chastise your child very strongly. So now the children are becoming so wild that they take guns and they go to school and shoot the teachers. And they think the society is advancing. They're so fools. So much foolish they are, these rascal leaders. Anything else?
But what if when we are straight like a thunderbolt, will we commit offense? When we are straight no. like a thunderbolt, are we committing offense?
You could be. That's why you have to be really. That's why you have to be really sincere devotee of the Lord. You see. Neophyte devotees have a tendency to be 90% strict and 10% lenient. And they can also be very offensive because of that. Always chastising. And it's a sign of false pride, you see. The thing is, you have to be the person who is qualified to chastise has to be a sincere well-wisher of that person. The person who is chastised has genuine loving feelings in his heart for all the devotees. A Kanishtha Adhikari is not qualified to chastise anyone. He's just thinking about his own devotional service. When he can steal some Mahaprasadam to gratify his tongue. But a Majjhimadhikari who's actually a genuine friend of all the devotees, he loves all the Vaishnavas. A Majjhimadhikari is qualified to chastise. Kanishtha is not. So We have to have at least our leaders should all be at least Majjhimadhikaris. But all of us should try to become Majjhim. Prabhupada wants us all to become Majjhimadhikaris. And not to stop there, he wanted us to go all the way to Uttama Adhikari. Prabhupada wanted us all to become Uttama Adhikari. But the first step is you become Majjhimadhikari. You're completely devoted to Krishna. You're completely devoted to the devotees of Krishna. You preach to all the innocent people. And you don't waste your time with the demons. Anything else?
What is the point in becoming Uttama Adhikari? What is the point in becoming Uttama Adhikari when you have to come down to Madhyama level to preach to somebody?
Well, I'll tell you. What is the point of being an Uttama if you come down to the point of Madhyam for preaching? Well, Uttama is a very exalted position. And it's the desired position. Where you're in constant contact with Krishna within your heart at every minute. So there's nothing wrong with being an Uttama. The goal is to achieve that direct connection with Krishna within the heart. And I can tell you this, the Uttama who's acting as a Majjhim for preaching is better preacher than any Majjhim who's just acting as a Majjhim. The best Majjhim is an Uttama. That's my point. Majjhim means preacher, you see. Uttam means he's fully realized Krishna within. So the Uttama, like Prabhupada, who acts as a Majjhim for the sake of preaching, he's the most empowered preacher in the whole world. Such a preacher is so powerful he can deliver the whole universe. So one should definitely strive for Uttama Bhakti. I know I have to because Prabhupada ordered me. He said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. A direct order from, in writing from Prabhupada to me. You see. So I know I have to strive for Uttam Bhakti.
At
the same time, he wants me to preach very vigorously. In fact, he told us, his disciples, this. He said, become guru and deliver the whole world. Wow. Supposed to deliver the whole world, Prabhupada? Yeah, deliver the whole world. That's pretty big task, isn't it? Deliver the whole world. That's the order Prabhupada gave to all of his disciples. Become guru and deliver the whole world. Am I making this up? No, it's right there in the Veda base. It's a lecture Prabhupada gave in Los Angeles. So, the Majjhima, he's concerned with the external activity of preaching, and the Uttama is relishing the mellows of reviving his relationship with Krishna, or perfecting his relationship with Krishna within his heart. So in the line of Srila Prabhupada, we do both things simultaneously. We cultivate the loving feelings for the Lord within our heart, and we preach for deliverance of the fallen souls. Any other questions? All right, so we thank you all very much. We wish you the best in your transcendental association amongst the devotees. And now we have some Mahaprasadam of Shri Shri Radhadamodar. Those little Radhadamodar deities that used to be here in Hong Kong, they're now a few blocks away. Everyone come forward, get some Mahaprasadam, Radhadamodar.